Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. And today, I'm with Jordan Scott from Airtable. Hello, Jordan.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to have you here. So Jordan, she's the head of community at Airtable. We're going to drill down a little bit on what that really means, because community is different things in different places and different times. She also formerly was a senior community manager, community program marketing manager, and of content and experiences at Tableau. That's a mouthful there. But like a lot of these podcasts and discussions, it'd be great to hear your journey and a little bit about how you became a community leader. You know, I'm thinking about Adrienne's book recently, so I'm curious if it was an accident, if it was something planned, etc.
Yeah, totally. Definitely more the accident category. I started at Tableau as my first job out of college, kind of just a general marketing assistant. And our user group team at the time was kind of like, hey, we need some support. We need some help. Who's got some time? And I very quickly raised my hand of like, I'd love to take on anything and everything and just learn from you guys and learn about this world and kind of get more ingrained in the marketing team there. And so I started out really helping out with more like operations and planning and kind of how do we keep the sales team involved with all of our user group stuff. For those of you who have done user groups, a ton of overhead. And then from there, kind of stepped into a leadership role in that team, built out our global team across London and Singapore. And then from there was moved into more of like an events role. So we worked on conferences and trade shows. And then my last role during my time there, worked on a team that was responsible for, like you said, content and experiences. It's kind of like, how do we take community to market through campaigns and our new blog and web experiences? And conferences and events and all those other things. But it kind of grew over time and turned into this thing where it's you're here and it's everything that like you wanted to do. It kind of allows you to dabble in a little bit of everything and then have the opportunity to jump over to Airtable and be the head of community here. So it's been great so far.
Well, I'm a big fan of Airtable. I'm actually, you'll be curious or interested in this, is I'm building out a huge database of all the resources that I access in Airtable. Right. So I have like links and I have images and, and just a plug for Airtable here. I also did a shootout between Google Table and Airtable and liked Airtable.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the beauty about Airtable, right? You kind of use it for anything and it allows you to really be creative and figure out how do I build a software that works the way that my brain works and make it exactly what I want it to be. So very happy to hear that it was the winner.
It was the winner. And, like as community leaders, there's so many different resources, so many different stakeholders to work with. So thank you to the Airtable team. But let's talk a little bit about how you and Airtable define community and what you're really focused on.
Yeah, it's a great question. Transparently, like Airtable's had a community for a long time, but it's a newer focus for us. And so I think we're really trying to figure out what does it mean to Airtable. That's part of what they brought me on to do is really figure out, okay, we could do so many things because our community is amazing and they organically has just grown into this really cool thing over time without much attention from our team, which is amazing, right? And really speaks to the testament of the product and the customers and kind of the inspiration there. So when we think about community, it's what kind of programs and experiences can we build that like helps our customers go further with our product? And so I like to think about it in pillars kind of. So we say, how are we providing inspiration, connection, and learning to our customers. So everything we do kind of rolls back up to these pillars of whether that's our template gallery by the community or our forums and making sure that we have people in there who are able to be really amazing resources and answer as many questions as possible or doing events and groups and offsite experiences and things like that. We really think about community as how do we kind of shape the future of Airtable and bring all these people together on this common mission of education and inspiration and all of those kind of things. So still kind of trying to figure out how those pieces all fit together, but that's how we think about it for now. Like everything we're building should be rolling up to kind of these core values or mission statements, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. So you mentioned learning. So is there a different learning team that you work closely with? And then also, how do people feel about, I mean, templates, I think, I'm sure people are embracing that there's user-created templates, but how about other parts of learning?
Yeah. So I work really closely with our education team and our success teams kind of more broadly to figure out, like, one, what are the roadblocks people are running into as they're learning how to use Airtable, both from I'm a brand new customer, like, how do I use this thing, all the way through, okay, I'm using it, I've been familiar with it for a minute. How do I then, like, take that to the next level? And so those journeys are a little bit different. And so that team really is the expert of, like, here is the research that we've done about what people feel like they need and what we can provide them to help them be successful. And so I think about learning a couple different ways. One, like you mentioned, is that templates, right? Like, how are people tangibly using this so I can get my hands on an example of, I didn't realize Airtable could do that, or I never would have thought about solving that problem that way. We also look at it in terms of our forums, right? So I think we've all been in the situation of trying to quickly Google something and find an answer and not being able to find it. And it's the most frustrating thing ever. So how do we both empower our customers to answer each other's questions, but have a really tight relationship with our support and education teams to figure out how do we make sure that we're elevating the right answers as quickly as possible? And so part of that has been working really closely with our technical documentation team to figure out how do we make sure to surface, like, our help center documentation in our community as well, and make it really seamless for people to find the answers that they're looking for. And I think looking kind of forward into the next year or two or whatever this looks like is, how do we have more of a learning experience within our community that allows people to kind of have this be your one-stop shop into everything you need? And our education team is a little bit newer as well, which is great because we can kind of build it together from the jump rather than trying to, like, fit it together later. So we think a lot about kind of what platforms talk to each other. How do we want to think about educating our customers? And then how do we make that as easy for them to do as possible? And so we took a couple of different angles from it. The last one I would say is kind of that event-based learning. So making sure that we're bringing the Airtable product team on to talk about kind of the software changes that we're making or the new features that we're launching, giving the opportunity for customers to, like, ask questions to our team, as well as, like, customer-run events where they can ask each other questions. So what does that collective learning journey look like as well? So kind of on both sides, the Airtable side and then kind of the more customer focused side as well.
Just to get a little bit in the weeds for a second. So how do you coordinate with all these different groups? I mean, I'm sure you use Airtable as a way to do that, but just you know, for other folks that, you know, either have Airtable or don't have Airtable, like, how do you orchestrate all this?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I found is finding your champions, then different orgs that you work with. And so for me, I kind of have my main points of contact in our support organization, in our CE organization, across our marketing team and different functions. And we do it a couple of different ways. We have Slack channels that we use to keep everyone up to date about, like, key initiatives and updates. One thing I really love that we have is we call it our community highlights channel, and that's open to the entire company. So people can jump in there. We share across our social team, my team, our customer advocacy team. There's really cool stuff that people are doing at their table. And so it makes it really easy for people to, like, feel that it's, like, approachable for them to join the conversation and, like, share ideas and, like, get involved in stuff, which I found it's been really helpful just of, like, making community a little bit more approachable internally when it is especially a little bit newer of a function. We also run kind of, like, tiger teams. We call it our, like, community tiger team or customer first tiger team, where we bring all these folks together and kind of brainstorm, like, hey, how can we all come together to solve some of these problems? How can we like, lean on each other to kind of, like, go further with this work that we're doing? And another thing that's been really helpful is kind of just sharing our planning docs kind of early and often as much as we can and getting input from different stakeholders. And so we all have shared priorities for the year. So it's kind of like, hey, we're in this together. We are aligned on this mission. Like, myself and support are aligned on this KPI, and myself and customer advocacy are aligned on this KPI. And so it makes it kind of a shared experience. I think when community is done well, it really is, like, community's everyone's job. It's not just one team's job. So how do we kind of infiltrate it into the rest of the business?
I like that shared approach. I've mentioned in some of these earlier podcasts that I've struggled in companies to have shared metrics or own metrics. And that's really a great way to get people engaged, because people are being evaluated based on their goals, their metrics, and their bonus is tied to that, et cetera, et cetera.
Totally. Well, and I think too, even if your company isn't necessarily doing shared metrics, like, you can still do it with the people that you built relationships with. And I think that's one of the things that's so cool about community work, right? Is, like, you're building this community within your team as well. And so I've had situations where I'm not being evaluated on shared KPIs, but, like, it's important to me to feel like we're in it together. And so I'll go to my social partner and say, hey, like, what do you think about us sharing something for the year and, like, driving this together? And so we'll do it. And then it's like, oh, wow, you guys have really partnered well this year. And so even if it's not something that your company is doing, I definitely recommend people doing it individually too.
Yeah. I'm seeing some themes of education, online learning, working closer with community, advocacy, working closer with community. I'm curious about how you guys are set up in terms of advocacy and how you look at advocacy as it relates to the community.
Yeah. So we think about, and again, advocacy is a little bit of a newer kind of function for us as well, and something we're still trying to figure out. But myself and our customer advocacy team, who they're amazing. We've done a lot of work sitting down to really figure out what is the best customer experience when it comes to advocacy. I think with community over the years, I think it's really easy to end up spinning up a ton of different programs, a ton of different initiatives. And internally, it's super easy to say, this is the purpose of this, and this is the purpose of this. But when you think about yourself in a customer's shoe, it's like, how are these things different? Why am I participating in 6 different programs? Like, what is the value I'm getting of doing 5 of these versus doing 1 of them? I think especially with earlier stage companies, it's a little bit easier to kind of find yourself in the trap of, okay, we have these 6 different programs and somehow they all have the same incentive. Like, you don't even realize it, right? But there's only so many things you can offer, and like, you're strapped on resources and you're trying to be scrappy and like solve similar problems. And so I think for us, we really wanted to take a customer first approach to it and really say, okay, how do we kind of put ourselves in our customer's shoes as we're thinking about what advocacy means at Airtable? Because I think it can be social advocacy. It can be advocacy on the community itself. It can be advocacy at events, or it can be advocacy on like press or whatever else that looks like. And so we've kind of landed in a world where it's, okay, what is advocacy? Kind of like a pyramid, I guess. Like, what is advocacy for everybody? And then building programs on top of that, that is like a really natural experience that you like flow through as you flow through this program. And it's fully integrated within our community, ideally, is a world we'd like to get to, where it's clear that it's not part of community necessarily, but it's like a seamless experience so that you're in one place, you're accessing it in one place. It's really easy for you to kind of get there. You don't have to find it later. Like, it's all just seamless. And so we're thinking about, again, like, what does that advocacy for everyone look like, where it is social sharing and engaging in campaigns and providing quotes or answering questions or whatever that looks like. And we're incentivizing that. And then kind of as you become more developed in your advocacy journey, opening that up to, okay, what about events and what about trade shows and what about press and all these things. And obviously those programs change as you go. But from a customer experience, it feels like you're part of the same journey the entire time. And so that for us is super important as we think about what advocacy means.
Yeah. In the Slack community, there's some really good discussion now about like, how do you ensure that your customers aren't bombarded in general in terms of communications? And then your superstars, whether they're practitioners or leaders, you know, they also get bombarded. You know, they're part of the executive program, part of it, yeah. Right? And so how do you manage all that? In terms of community, so you know, obviously there's an online community platform. Do you get involved with Airtable discussions on non-owned properties on other platforms?
Yeah, so we do not right now. A big part of that is resourcing transparently. Mm-hmm. I also think that there's something really special about allowing the organic community to happen. Like, there's something really beautiful about that. And I think we definitely monitor them to make sure that like nothing is completely going off the rails, or there isn't a situation where we should be stepping in, right? Of this person's been building correctly and they're in the wrong spot, and we want to make sure that we're jumping in to help. So like things like that, we do watch out for. But when it comes to kind of curating conversation or engaging in those communities, we don't. But we do make sure that the people who are running those communities know that we are available as a resource to them if they need anything. And so I make sure to have really strong connections with the individuals who run our community Facebook group, and our Slack community, and let them know like, hey, if you guys need anything, whether it's swag or resourcing or like event details, whatever that looks like, we're here as a resource for you. And I find that that creates a better sense of trust than kind of being like, hey, we want to be involved in all these places. Like, no, we trust you. They buy the community for the community, and we're here to support you, but like, we want to let you kind of explore this the way that you want to.
Got it. So you did it at Tableau, at Airtable, you kind of inherited some community there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were going to like, you know, pull out your playbook, what would you recommend, or like the 5 to 10 things that people should do in terms of jumpstarting a community?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I think the biggest thing that I have found to be the most influential, whether you're coming in and starting a community creating it from scratch. When I joined Tableau, our community wasn't really new by any means, but it was definitely pretty small compared to the scale that it is now. Airtable has a pretty well-established community for like not having a ton of resourcing on it today. And I think both of those scenarios, the thing that I found to be the most impactful was sitting down and like talking to people before I made any decisions, which I think is a step we tend to skip because it's like, hey, I want to show value really quickly and I want to be able to jump in and like build a new program or like rock someone's world with like a new initiative or like campaign or whatever, which is amazing. But you might like miss the mark if you do it that way. And so for me, the first thing I always do is sit down and say, okay, let's talk to people who are super engaged in our community today, people who are not engaged, but we wish were, people who have no interest in doing it. Like it's just like making sure you're talking to every kind of audience you can and collecting as much data as you can about one, what's working and also what's not. And like what you can do to create more value for them in the programs that you're building. And so that's where I've kind of come up with the themes that I kind of mentioned earlier. Those are the trends that I tend to see people talk about, whether it's I want better access to support. And that kind of falls into that like learning bucket, right? Or I really want to see more people, how more people are using this tool. And that falls into that inspiration bucket. And so that would probably be my number one tip. Number two, I would probably say like, don't be afraid for something to fail. I think that a lot of times, like we get really nervous of like, oh, I'm going to launch this new thing. And like, who knows if it's going to work? And that's totally fine. Just make sure you're transparent about it along the way and like getting feedback. We're piloting a networking event right now, for example, that'll launch. It's live now, but it'll run through February. And I don't know if people are going to like it, but I do know that we're going to ask them for feedback after and then figure it out later. And so just like not being afraid to try stuff if you think it's going to be cool or you think it could work, or maybe one person mentioned it in passing and it's like, let's give it a shot and see if other people resonate with this. The third one I would say probably is bringing the rest of your company along for the ride as much as you can. I think it's really easy to kind of think of community as an island or a little bit of a, oftentimes we have to be kind of scrappy and kind of get things done quickly or do them on our own. And so it makes it feel like I own this on my own. But as much as you can celebrate other people and get other people invested and kind of make it a team sport, it sounds really cheesy, but the further you'll be able to go faster because you're really able to get those champions across the rest of the business. And the last one I really say too is like making sure to keep people at the center of everything you do, which also sounds very cheesy or very kind of like, oh, duh. But I think it's really easy, especially as you progress in your career and community, to kind of put more of this like program operational execution hat on in terms of like, what are our OKRs? What are our KPIs? Like, what do we need to get done this quarter? And oftentimes it's really easy to forget that like there are people, you know, that we're working with and focusing on, and making sure not to like lose that like relationship and just like point of view with everything you do, of making sure you're putting yourself in your customer's shoes. And just being the kind of community that really is like, hey, we're here to support you, elevate you, like put a spotlight on you more than it being about what can we do for the business necessarily all of the time. And sometimes you have to put that hat on, right? Of like, what is the right business decision here? But making sure you don't lose that point of view, even if it's not the direction that you decide to go, like making sure you're informed on it, I think is something that people tend to miss kind of as communities grow and scale and all of those things. Those are probably my top couple.
Now that's a great list. And I love, you know, the first one of just talking to people and talking to customers. You know, I mean, community people are really good at that, but you know, if I put my marketing hat on, one of my big things is marketers don't talk enough.
Yes.
To customers, right? You know, and there's just every conversation is really valuable. And I always tell the story about when I was at Intuit. I thought I was a cool MBA, and I'd go into Scott Cook, the founder's office, with my numbers, and he would just put it in the trash and say, "Tell me what they're saying."
Yeah. When I was at Tableau, we joked around a lot. Adam Slipsky was the CEO at the time. We were leaving and coming from Amazon, he was a little bit newer. Kind of this concept of community, especially the way that Tableau does it, right? Amazon's community is so completely different than kind of a BI tool community is. And I will never forget, he sat there and he looked at us and he literally said, it's like we need to figure out a way how to like measure hugs. And I was like, yes. And so we ended up creating an alias, and it was hugs@tableaucommunity.com. And it was an email address alias with all of our executive team on it, leadership team on it. And whenever we had like a cool story that came through or a fun moment or like a cool win, it would just automatically get forwarded to this alias and end up in our executive team's inboxes as like a here's like the tangible, like feel good takeaway you can have from this. It's not just like a number on a spreadsheet. And I still use that. So it was like a fun kind of moment for him to kind of recognize and all of us to recognize too. Like that is kind of what we're trying to do here, which is hard, hard work. So it worked for us.
Since you've been in this space for a while, a question for you. What do you think is missing for community leaders? Like what, you know, what could really help community leaders more? And I'm asking partially for selfish reasons. We just launched the CLG campus.
Yeah.
And we are building out a area for community leaders, but there's lots of content out there. So I thought I'd put you in this, on the spot here and say, okay, help me out here.
I love it. There are two things that come to mind. I think the first one, and I find myself falling into this trap often, as I think community leaders often try to do too much. And I think that that's an amazing thing to say, hey, we want to try all these different things at once. So I think if you're really able to focus and say like, hey, here are 3 to 5 like really big goals for this half or this year or whatever that looks like for your team and what the bandwidth looks like for how many people that you have, staying super focused to that mission, I think is something that's really easy to lose track of a little bit. And again, I've fallen into that too of we have our initiatives for the quarter and then this really awesome idea comes up and it's like, wait, no, I really want to squeeze that in. And then you end up just spreading yourself way too thin. And the second one is kind of what we've been talking about. I think this idea of community being everyone's job is a little bit newer of a concept. I think that community is used to being an island and we're kind of comfortable being the island, right? It's like, no one's in my business. I'm doing my own thing. People are happy. Like we're growing. Everything's good. But the acceleration that takes place when you are able to kind of get that buy-in and alignment across an organization and have your champions who are kind of extensions of your team across the entire business, like you're able to just one, scale and like not need a team of 50 people right away, right? But it also makes it so it's like a sense of shared ownership and you're kind of owning that value of community internally as well as externally. And so I think that's something that we're going to see a lot of progression over the next couple of years. I think we already are, but I think that is kind of the other thing I would call out.
Magic. I love it. That's great. Very valuable. And lots of ideas here about like how to play those ideas forward. So just in wrapping up, I want to be sensitive to your time, other people's time. So two last questions I like to ask. First one is, Jordan, is there anything I haven't asked you today? You're like, damn, Wilder, why haven't you asked me?
No, I think that you've been really spot on. I think that we've talked about it a lot. I think the thing that I would just underscore of anything we talked about is just making sure you don't kind of lose that connection with your customers and that personal relationship with your community members, especially as like careers grow and things change. There are so many people that I have learned so much from just like having them in my network and kind of in my corner. And when I left Tableau, especially, I talked a lot about like, I had the best job at Tableau. It was because like, I had hundreds of people in my corner who were like advocating for me as much as I was advocating for them and like wanted to come together and like help us build something amazing. And I think the more trust you can have there, the better. And kind of just, I know these are people that I'm probably going to have in my professional life for the rest of my time in community. And that's really, really special. And there's still people that I kind of confide in and bounce ideas off of. And no one knows the answer better to most of these questions than your customers do at the end of the day. And so making sure it's a resource to you is so incredibly important. So less of that, we missed it, but just I would underscore that one for sure.
No, that's great. And it's a great segue into the second question, which is, so who or what has really inspired you the most in terms of your professional career?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the people that I've worked with, I've had the opportunity to work with some of the most like amazing community leaders and non-community leaders, honestly. Like I've learned so much from product marketers that I've reported into or kind of teams that have been, I think being in community so long, when I was at Tableau, I sat on like 5 or 6 different teams during my time there. So I got the opportunity to kind of put a different lens on like, what does community mean in product marketing? What does community mean in a comms world? What does community mean in a support world? And so that to me has been incredibly influential, just picking the brain of these leaders of these different functions and what community means to them. Same with people like Erica Cool and folks who have kind of been in the space for a long time. Her and I crossed paths briefly at Salesforce and then worked with her at Airtable. She's amazing. I could list names forever, so I'm gonna not do that. So I'm definitely gonna leave someone off. But the last thing I'd say is also just like customers, honestly, like I, especially kind of these power users, the folks that you're like really building deep relationships with, I say it all the time. It's not even just like what they do with the product that's super inspiring, but it's like how they do it. And that's like such a different mindset shift, right? It's not just that they're building really cool solutions or that they're like creating these huge operational improvements for their organization. Like that is amazing and super inspiring. But for me, it's like, okay, and then you want to pay that forward. Like that to me is just like amazing and so inspiring. And so I think it's like kind of that hybrid of all the people that I've worked with along the way, but also all the customers that had the opportunity to kind of partner with along the way as well.
That's great. That's awesome. I like that a lot. So especially just, yeah, the customer, and mm-hmm. hearing what they have to say. And it's more than just like they're using your software. So
yeah,
it's more than the jobs they have to do. It's about like the environment they're in, their, you know, what their own aspirations are.
Totally. And I think that there's something really amazing. And I mean, Tableau and Airtable, I don't think are unique in this, but oftentimes as you're like up-leveling your skills with a tool, you're like getting time back or like advancing your career. And that's like human stuff, right? Of like, why wouldn't you want to be involved in helping people like spend more time at home with their families or like get that next promotion that they want or see themselves just like grow professionally in a really cool way. And so I think being able to celebrate those wins with so many people is just like a really special thing.
Yes, exactly. No, awesome. So Jordan, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So this has been Customer-Led Groove, brought to you by Base and part of the CLG campus. I like to tell folks that you can find us obviously on CLG campus, but also on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Alexa. But don't worry if you like us or not, in terms of clicking that box. It's more important to just play it forward and share this with somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.